verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your work in our lives, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to serve you. And I pray, Lord, as we serve you this morning, that you may reach down in our hearts and our lives, and you may do great things. Father, teach us this morning. I pray that you might work in each soul and each life that is present this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amongst Christians, this is one of the most famous passages in the Bible. There are two passages that we call are the great passages. This is one of them. The other passage is called the Great Commandment, where we talk about the great commandments of God's love. This is the great commandment of God's commission. In this passage, we have the commission that God has given the church. We have the commission that God has given Christians. Let me set the scene. Jesus has walked on the earth. He has come as the Savior of the world. He has presented himself as the Son of God. He has said that if people would come to him, they would find salvation. He told his disciples that he would end up dying on the cross for our sins. And he has done that. He died for your sin and my sin. He was then buried. He then rose from the dead. And having risen from the dead, the Bible tells us that he walked and he visited with many believers. He talked with many believers. Many believers had seen him. And then we come to this spot, Matthew chapter 28, the last passage in the Gospel of Matthew. And we see Jesus coming to meet with his disciples and give them, although it's not said here, give them the Great Commission. He's here telling them what he wants them to do. Jesus spent 3 years of his life publicly living out the mission that God had given him, publicly living for and telling others about his mission and why he was here. And with his death, burial, and resurrection and the time before his ascension, his time on this earth, his mission on this earth, would finish. He would then pass the baton. He would then say, "I'm going to my Father. I am leaving you here. It is now your turn to do what I was doing." And so he meets the disciples on this mountain. We are not told what mountain it is. It remains an unnamed mountain. He meets with the disciples on this mountain. And basically, we have a couple of things that we should notice here in this passage. The first is this. We need to recognize Jesus' authority. Recognize Jesus' authority. We have here the greatest claim that can be given. Notice verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now notice there are 11, the 12 minus Judas. They go out to this mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They were completely obedient to his word. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. So they do exactly what Jesus had said to do. They come out of the mountain to meet Jesus. as he's coming, they there bow down before him and they begin to worship him. There are a few people in the Bible where people tried to worship. Some tried to worship the Apostle Paul. Paul said, wait a minute, I'm only a fellow servant. John tried to worship an angel in the last book of the Bible, and John got before the angel because he was seeing unbelievable things. And as he was before that angel, he bowed down before that angel, and he began to worship an angel. And the angel said, wait a minute, I'm only a fellow servant. And we are told in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 4, why they were not willing to accept worship. Jesus said that there's only one we should worship, and that is God in heaven. But I want you to notice here, and not only here, but several places in the Bible, when people came before Jesus, they bowed down and they worshiped him. And he accepted that worship. He responded to that worship and he allowed man to worship him. Why did he do that? He did that because he is God. He is God, co-equal with the Father, co-eternal with the Father, the same as the Father. He is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. And God loved you and God loved me so much that he sent God the Son to this earth to live among us and then to die on the cross, to die for our sins. Having done that, Jesus came out, he met them. I want you to notice it says that they began to worship him, but it says some doubted. Some doubted. Some of the 11 were not sure. It appears maybe that it was even Jesus as he's approaching. They're not sure it's him. Some maybe doubted that they would even see Jesus. It is clear that they're worshiping Jesus, so they're not here questioning whether they should worship who he is, but some of this group, they began to doubt. Jesus sees that, and I want you to notice in verse 18, he makes a statement. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority, whether it is in heaven or whether it is on earth, all authority has been given to me. The word authority means the power of choice. The power of rule or government. Has the idea of having the ability to rule. All the authority has been given to him. You know, sometimes, depending on where you are, you have some authority. Sometimes you may even think you have more authority than what you really have. Some guys in their homes think they have authority because they go and they ask their wives if they can have it. But Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Now, this is foundational for what he's about to say. He says that he has all authority, and it becomes the foundation for the next statement. There are some things that people can say to me, and you know, I don't even bat an eye. I really don't listen to what's being said. Does that sound horrible? But if I'm busy and I'm doing things, you know, some people can, you know, just say things and boom, 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 I'm on the run. And you probably do the same thing. You just may not admit it. And there are some people, when they talk to you, I mean, you just say, how high, and you're ready to, boom, you're ready there to be there and listen. Jesus says he has all authority. He has all authority. Therefore, he has the ability to command our lives. He has the ability to tell us what to do. Sometimes maybe you say something to someone and you want them to do something and they turn around and they look at you and they say, who do you think you are? Jesus has all authority. And as a church and as individuals who are here this morning, Jesus has something that he wants you to do. If you name the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you say that Jesus is Lord of your life, He has something He wants you to do. Based on Jesus' authority, I want you to notice the second thing here in our passage, and that is we need to fulfill Jesus' commission. Fulfill Jesus' commission. Notice all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I want to pull this commission apart. I want to pull this command apart. Now let me say, in this command, there's really one main statement. There's one main command. And you'll find it in verse 19. He says, make disciples. Make disciples. The commission, the commandment given to the church, the thing that each one of us needs to do is we need to make disciples. What is a disciple? Let me give you the simplest definition of a disciple that I can give you. A disciple is simply a person who follows their master's teaching. One who follows their master's teaching, and in this case, our master is Jesus Himself. A disciple is a learner. A learner who follows what his master says. And if we look at it in context of this passage, a disciple is someone who has come to a point in their life where they realize that Jesus does have all authority, where Jesus is Lord. And having realized that Jesus has all authority and that He is Lord God, they have looked at their relationship to Him and realized that they have been separated from Him because of their sin. And that the only way they can become or come into right relationship with Jesus Christ again is to turn to Him, to trust in what He did, and to call upon Him to save them from their sin and to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The job that God has given the church is to go out into this world and make disciples, make people follow Jesus Christ, reach out to people and teach them to follow Jesus. Now, if you go in the Muslim world has a way of doing that. They want you to become followers of Muhammad. And if you are unwilling to become a follower of Muhammad, Muslims know how to make you do that. They just walk up to the side of you with a gun and say, follow Muhammad or die. That is not the way that God has called Christians to help people, to teach people, to make disciples. God has given us a plan to present. That you and I, because of Adam and Eve's sin, have been born with sin in our life. We have had deposited in our bank account sin. And no matter what we try to do about that sin, we cannot separate ourselves from it. It's been put in our account, and there's no act, there's no deed, there's no thing we could do that somehow would get rid of that in our account. In fact, some people think, well, I know how I get rid of this sin. I'll get baptized. I'll go and have someone sprinkle water on my head, or I'll go and have someone dunk me under the water, and that'll wash away my sin. I want you to know baptism will never wash away your sin. In fact, there's nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do that will ever get rid of our sin except to realize what God has already done. God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, loved us so much. The good news is that He did everything that needed to be done. He completed the task. He did all that needed to happen. And he went and he died on the cross. He shed his blood for our sin. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And the Bible says if we will believe with all our heart, if we will trust in what he did for us, if we will turn to him, God will separate our sin from us. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. That is the message. That is the method. That is what God has called us to do, is to take that message to this world and compel people, invite people to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you do that? The main command here is to make disciples, but I want you to notice he gives us three participles. Now, you don't have to remember what a participle is, but it's simply a word in the original language that qualifies, explains, helps us understand the main command. And in this case, it tells us how to go out and make disciples. So I want you to notice these three words. We find the first word in verse 19. In fact, it's even before the word make disciples. Jesus said, therefore, go. Go. Go out into this world. Go out into all the nations. Doesn't matter the color of one's skin. It doesn't matter where a person lives. Doesn't matter their background. Go out into all the world and invite people to come to Jesus. Invite people to trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior of their life, the one who separates them from their sin. We could actually even translate this word go as having gone. Having gone, make disciples, having gone out into this world. That's exactly what Christians should do. You know, we come to church, we hear God's word, we walk out that back door, and we ought to go out into this world and invite people to Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, if you have received, if you claim that Jesus is your Savior, when is the last time you invited someone to come to Jesus? When is the last time you told someone about what God wants to do for them? When is the last time that you shared the good news of the gospel with someone you work with someone you live next to, with someone that you have met? Go. There was a term coined many years ago called saturation evangelism. It is explained really by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul said he became all things to all people that he might win some. What Paul says in the meaning of saturation evangelism is that we go out and we try to reach every person in every available means with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We use television, we use the internet, we use the radio, we use our own little feed, our mouth, we use everything we possibly can to tell others, to invite people to Jesus Christ. We have brochures on the side. We've used TV as a church. We've used the newspaper. We put door hangers out. Every month our church puts out 100 postcards of people who are moving in the area, looking for ways to share, looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And we ought not to do that just as a church, but we ought to do that as individuals. Let me ask again, when is the last time you have invited someone to come to Jesus Christ for salvation? If you are here this morning and you have never received Jesus as your Savior, I'm inviting you this morning. I want you to know, unless you come to Jesus Christ, unless you call upon him to save you, unless you place your trust in what he did on the cross as payment for your sin, unless you stop trying to work your way to heaven, you will never have a relationship with God. And you will never spend an eternity with God in heaven. Go and make disciples. Now, why you notice, once you've made a disciple, here's what you are to do. Notice the second word, baptize. Baptize them. The word simply means immerse or dip or dunk. It was used in the Greek language where one ship shot at another ship and that ship sunk. That's the word. It's a word that was used of dyeing clothes a different color. It is used throughout the book of Acts. And the idea is that once we come to Jesus Christ, which is something that happens in our heart, it is something that happens personally in our life where I can call upon Jesus and no one else will ever see it. But once I've done it, I need to proclaim to everyone that I have done it. That I have identified with Jesus, that I have become a disciple of Jesus Christ, that I believe that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ will save me from my sin. So I identify with what Jesus did, and I tell everybody, look, hey, I want you to know I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when someone gets baptized, as we will do in a few minutes, what each one of these people are saying is, I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that in doing that, he has saved me from my sin. And I have become a disciple of Jesus. So we go out and make disciples. How do we do that? By going, by baptizing. Then I want you to notice a third word. Remember, a disciple is one who follows his teacher, one who follows, obeys his master. Notice the third word. Verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know, you might be here this morning and you can say to yourself, well, you know what? I can name all 12 apostles. Or you might be here this morning and say, I can name all 10 commandments. Watch an interview the other day and they were going on the street with a microphone. They were saying, can you name 10 commandments? And people would say, yeah, I can do it. Okay, do it. And very few people were able to get all through all 10 commandments. But I want you to know this morning, the purpose of the Bible isn't just to teach you something. The reason why we're here this morning is not just to teach you about baptism. But he says, teaching to obey. Purpose of the teaching is to obey. It's not just to learn. Purpose of understanding God's word or coming to Sunday school or even coming on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, the purpose is not just to learn new things about God or not just to learn new things about religion or not just to learn new things about the Bible. It is to take your life, and as you learn things about God, as you learn what God wants you to do, it is to come closer and closer so that you identify with God in the way you live, the way you talk, the way you walk, the character of your life. He says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Not just some things, not just a few things, but teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So let me ask you this morning, if we were to take your life out of church, if we were to separate you from this building, if we were to take you and separate you from everybody else that is here, and we were to take you and drop you in the mall, or drop you at your job, would people be able to look at your life and say, there goes a Christian? Would people know that you are a follower of Jesus by the way you live and by the way you talk and by your character? See, that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, look, well, make disciples. Go out and make disciples and then baptize them so people will see their public profession, but then begin teaching them the word of God so they will begin to grow and to live and to walk like me. In fact, in the book of 1 John, it says, if you claim to know Jesus but you don't walk like Jesus, listen to this. If you claim to know Jesus, but you don't walk like Jesus, the Bible says you're a liar. You're a liar. If we can't see Jesus in your life, the Bible says that you're a liar. So we need to fulfill the commission that Jesus gave here. And I want you to notice one last thing. We're to receive Jesus' comfort. Jesus says, as we go out and make disciples, at the end of verse 20, he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As we go out and do what God wants to do, as we go out and we're obedient to God, as we go out and live the way God wants to live, as we go out and invite people to Jesus, Jesus says, "Look, wherever you go, I will be with you." That was the great promise in the Old Testament that the Old Testament men and women wanted to hear. Moses, Jacob, Joshua, Gideon, they all wanted to hear that God would go with them. And as you go out and live the way that God wants you to live, as you go out and fulfill this commission, God will go with you. So there's two kind of people here this morning. Only two kind. There's only two kind of people. There are those of you who are here this morning and you can say, I have never turned to Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. I can point back to a day when I realized I was a sinner and I turned to God believing that when he died for my sin, he paid the penalty. He became the scapegoat. He became the lamb whose blood was shed for me. If you're here this morning and you've never called upon Jesus to save you from your sin, I want to give you the opportunity this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to call upon Jesus this morning. And not just to be more religious, but so that you may have a relationship with God. The Bible says if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus, God, came to this earth, died on a cross, was buried and rose again, the good news of the gospel, he did it for your life, he did it for me, if you believe with all your heart that what he did is payment for your sin, and if you will call upon Jesus to save you, the Bible says he will. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And God does not lie. And I would encourage you, if you've never received Jesus, that you would make today the day that you receive him. The other type of person here is a person who says that they have done that. That they can point back to a time in their life where they have received Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, have you been baptized? Biblically baptized? After salvation? By immersion? If not, you need to be obedient to God. Let me ask you this morning, are you obeying everything God commanded? Well, you might say, well, wait a minute, I'm not perfect, no one is. Yeah, but the Bible says we need to be working towards that. Every day of our life, we need to be growing. We need to be becoming more spiritually mature. We need to be becoming more like Jesus. Where's your life at? Can people see Jesus in you? When they see your face, are they really seeing a God who loves them? And a God who is holy? I would encourage you, Christian, this morning to check up on your walk. Do you see more growth in your life today than you did yesterday, or last week, or last year? Let's all close our eyes and bow for a word of prayer. If you're here this morning and you've never called upon Jesus to save you, I want to give you that opportunity right now. Just between you and God. I don't want to give you words to say, but let me just say it this way. If you'll tell God that you're a sinner, if you'll tell God you do believe Jesus made the payment for you, and if you will ask him to save you, he will. If you're here this morning, you've already done that. I want you to know God wants you to be obedient to his word. God wants you to grow. God wants people to see Jesus in you. And if that's not true of your life, you need to have a talk with God too. Maybe you need to get back on track. Maybe you need to begin doing or back doing what God has called you to do. Maybe you need to get back to telling people about Jesus and inviting them to Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, it's between you and God. Tell God where you're at. Talk to Him. Father God, we thank You this morning for Your love, for Your goodness in our life. And we pray this morning, Father, that if there is someone here that hasn't called upon You for salvation, they will have done so right now, right these very last moments. And I pray, Lord, as Christians, we might be obedient to Your word. Help us, Father, to praise You. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way that people would see You in us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.